The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Be the new. I'm taking this message from 2 Corinthians. If you put that scripture up for me, appreciate it. And he died for all, that those who live should have no longer live for themselves, no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. 2 Corinthians 5:15. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. I like the way that the New Living Translation says this, if you put that up. So we have stopped evaluating others from the human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. So we do not evaluate people in the body of Christ or the world any longer from a human point of view. We don't just like or dislike people. Amen. Based on who they are and their personality, we evaluate them based on this. And this is the way we should look at people, whether they are born again or not born again. Because our motivation should be that everyone have the opportunity to become born again, to receive Christ as their personal Savior. So our evaluation of people should be a spiritual evaluation, whether we have an opportunity to be able to speak into their life. And of course, we know Christ that way, from a spiritual perspective, not just merely from a human perspective. Jim, do you need some help?
Yes, he does.
Okay. Billy. All right. Is there a psychologist in the house? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, we have all been accused. Now, you got to realize from a worldly perspective, as the world looks at believers these days, we are being accused of being mentally ill. Anybody heard that? I mean, that's news. They are proclaiming that if you are fundamental Bible believer, there is something wrong with you. You are mentally ill. Praise God. I'll take the label. It's okay. Praise the Lord. Because one day, when Jesus Christ comes back, we're going to find out the ones that were actually mentally ill or wrong about their opinions. Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and he's going to set up his kingdom here on this earth. So we look at him from a spiritual perspective. Let's go to the next scripture, please. This is the one I'm taking this message from. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are a new creation in Christ. Wow. Do you all have your phones turned off? I'm setting a poor example. That was my granddaughter from Texas. I had called her and to wish her a happy birthday, which was Friday, I believe, and she was just now getting back with me. Yeah, that's right. Amen. Wow. Is there any other interruptions this morning? Let's get them out of the way so we can move on. Praise God. We are new creations in Jesus Christ. Now, here's something I want to do. I would like to jump back to that first scripture because it talks about that he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves. This is a really important aspect of Christianity, and I know it's difficult these days in this society that we live in to accept the fact that the whole world does not revolve around us. But I know that's exactly what the media teaches us, that everything in our life, I have some difficulty with my mic even this morning, that everything in life is supposed to make you comfortable, make you feel good, make you feel special. You know, you even see advertisements these days about different products, and the tag seems to be, you deserve it. Well, what do we deserve? Well, according to the scriptures, we deserve death and hell and torment. But praise God, we had a Savior that came and set us free from that. And we no longer have to look for that through the end of our life. However, what we must recognize as believers in Jesus Christ, there is some sacrifice that needs to be made. We must sacrifice. We must be strong. We are warriors. We are a part of the army of God, and armies must make sacrifice. We're going to talk this morning, even though this whole series is going to be to be the new who you are, the new creation, the new creature. We're going to talk this morning about fasting. And the reason we're going to be talking about fasting is because we're going to be starting our 21-day fast, yearly fast, in January. Now, I want to make sure, everyone, if you participate in this, make sure you participate. If you have any kind of health issues, make sure that you are participating in a way that it's not going to damage your health. Okay? If you need to, talk to your doctor about it. You can do all kinds of different fasts. I've had people in the past that fasted television or internet or Facebook or whatever. I must tell you that a biblical fast is food. That's what a biblical fast is. And I would encourage you, if you can, to fast food. Even if it's a certain item that you love, a certain food that you love. Maybe desserts or fasting and only eating one meal a day. Whatever it is, I want this to be between you and God if you participate in it. And we encourage everyone in this congregation to participate in some way. Whatever you can do, do it, be a part of it. I believe that prayer and fasting sets the course in the beginning of the year, sets the course for the rest of the year. When we make a decision that we are going to deny ourselves for Christ. Now, are we fasting to move God? No. We're fasting to build our faith. We're fasting to grow closer to God. We're fasting to get in a position where we can hear Holy Spirit speak to us. That's not moving God. That's moving us. That's what fasting is all about. We're over here. We've kind of strayed a little bit from our Father, and we need to get back. And fasting helps us do that. Fasting is an awesome discipline. So we're going to start that next Monday, January the 7th, a 21-day prayer and fasting. We will have some information next week for you. We'll have a sign-up sheet for anybody who wants to sign up, be a part of that, that we want to be prepared for it. Anything else I need to add to that, Tammy? Fasting sometimes is not a serious discipline that Christians observe anymore. Fasting is a very powerful discipline. But I read a thing that was in a church bulletin. It was talking about National Prayer and Fasting Conference, and it was an announcement in their bulletin. And they said this is one of the things that they had in there. The cost of attendance to the fasting and prayer conference includes meals. Well, how serious are we about prayer and fasting if we're coming to a conference to eat? And I think that's kind of gives us an overview of what the body of Christ really thinks about fasting. We're not taking it as serious as we should. The book that I'm taking this message from is Jensen Franklin's book, The Fasting Edge, if anybody would like to get that, by Jensen Franklin. Jensen is a big promoter of fasting. We started doing our once a year fast because that's what his church does. Every year they do a yearly fast in January, 21-day fast. And he has some incredible stories to tell from fasting, prayer and fasting. And we have seen some incredible things happen here as well from prayer and fasting. So I want you to pray about it. I want you to seek God. I want you to be a part of this, but I want you to do it with wisdom. Okay? Did I preface this whole thing properly? I hope so. All right. Fasting. The first thing I want you to understand what fasting does for us. Look at Matthew chapter 17. Fasting keeps the axe sharp. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" Now, what was happening here is that there was a young boy brought to Jesus, or brought to the disciples, and the disciples couldn't cast out the demon. It was a demonic force. They tried and they couldn't. So they brought the boy to Jesus, and Jesus just spoke a word over him and cast out the demon. And Jesus said this to them. So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from there to here,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Next scripture. "However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." Jesus is teaching his disciples the importance of growing and building their faith. Look, these guys walked with Jesus. These guys were sent out 70 at a time at one point. They went out two by two, and they laid hands on the sick. They cast out devils. They did all kinds of incredible miracles. And now here they are, after being with Jesus all this time, and they're in a place of unbelief. Jesus makes it perfect clear. It's because of your unbelief. Why do you have unbelief? Because you're not spiritually strong. Spiritual strength will overcome unbelief. So Jesus says, here's how you're going to become spiritually strong, to overcome even demons like this, some of the strongest. This kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. So if we are going to build ourselves up in the faith and in spiritual strength, we need to be serious about prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting is sharpening the axe. It's keeping the axe sharp. I don't know how many of you in here have burnt wood or cut wood or used an axe to do so or for any purpose, but one of the things about keeping an axe sharp is, first of all, you do not use an electric grinder to sharpen your axe. Most people. Now, this is old-timer stuff. Old-timers would tell you, you don't use that. What you use is a file and a honing stone. You file all the rough edges off. It's time-consuming. And then you hone it with that stone until you look at that blade and you cannot see the edge. And then you use some oil and you wipe off any fragments and you've got a nice sharp axe. And the only way to keep that axe sharp is from time to time, sit down, use the file, use the stone, and use the oil. It's a process. It's something you have to do. Abraham Lincoln was a woodsman, and he understood this process. And he used that as an analogy sometimes about just preparing yourself to do whatever it was. And he said this. He said, "Give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, and I'll spend 4 sharpening my axe." because he understood the importance of being prepared. We must get hold of the importance of being prepared to do the work of the kingdom of God. We get weak from time to time. There's every person sitting in here. I don't have to ask for you to raise your hands. I know we all get to that point sometimes where we are weak and we don't have that cutting edge that we should have. And we need to continue to, when we recognize that that's happening in our life, and that's why I want to do this 21-day fast again, it helps keep us on the cutting edge. I want to be on the cutting edge with the Lord. It's so important that we strive, that we work hard, that we understand that we have some responsibility in this thing. Yes, it's Holy Spirit working through us. Yes, we recognize our faith must be strong, but we build that up by using certain disciplines. Prayer, reading the Word, fasting. These are disciplines that sometimes are completely forgotten in the church these days. It's too easy. Listen, it's easy for you to come to church, sit down here, and let me put the scripture up on the screen. But you have a book called the Bible, or you have a Bible on your iPad or your phone. You need to open that thing. You need to read it. And one of the things that will help you with that is fasting. It'll help you become disciplined, much more disciplined in your Christian walk. So prayer and fasting is extremely, extremely important. On April the 25th, 1985, a man by the name of Vernon Brewer was the dean of students at the university, Liberty University. And he just found out that he had cancer. They gave him 6 months to live. All the students, there was 5,000 students there at that time. All the students declared a day of prayer and fasting for Vernon. And as far as I know, Vernon, he lived at least 12 more years. He lived a good long life. Now, I share that with you because I believe that those students did something. It was not comfortable for them to do a day of prayer and fasting, especially for students. You know how important food is to them. When we were living in Athens, we had a lot of students around. Otis was one of them. Food was very important to him. Yes, sir. Amen. They loved it when Tammy would cook a meal and invite them over, because they didn't have much home-cooked meals. So, you know, they gave up something. And that's what I'm sharing with you today. We've got to give up something in our life. We've got to be willing to discipline ourselves to the place where we can recognize that the power of God is much more important than our fleshly desires. Amen. All right. The second thing I want to share with you this morning is fasting gets the trash out. Amen. It does. It gets the trash out of your life. If you're having a problem with some kind of addiction, some kind of habit, some kind of sin that you know of in your life, fasting will get the trash out. It will help you become more disciplined in your life and help you to overcome whatever it is that's holding you back. Let's look at the scripture there. Now, therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Go to the next one. So rend your heart and not your garments. Look, the Jews had a habit of when they were something bothered them, and they knew that that they had done something wrong or someone had done something wrong, they have a habit of crying out and then tearing their garments to show their disdain for whatever the situation was. So he's saying to them, rip your heart, tear your heart, divide your heart, not just your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and he relents. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. God does not want to see harm come upon you. He wants you to be in a position where he can bless you. But sometimes we allow ourselves to get in a position where we are just nonchalant about our relationship with him. We allow sins and things to come into our lives, habits, conditions. Sometimes it's not necessarily what you might think of as sin, but if it's dividing you or separating you from your relationship with God, it is sin. It might just be a habit of some kind that's keeping you from doing what God wants you to do. God wants to set you free from that. And I can tell you this from experience, prayer and fasting will get you in a position to overcome anything the enemy tries to put upon you. You can be set free. And I know you know, many of you come up for prayer and we pray for your deliverance on all kinds of different things. But listen, the reality is I can't deliver you. God is the deliverer. Jesus is the deliverer. Holy Spirit is the one that sets you free. And you have him living inside of you. All you have to do is cry out, get yourself in a position where he is able to deliver you from whatever it is that you need. Amen. Rend your heart, not your garments. It'll set you free. Years ago, our youth group had a skit. Let's see if I can remember exactly how it went, but it was, I think it was called The Well. I don't remember exactly, but anyhow, the gist of this thing was that there was a person who had just become a new believer in Christ. And, of course, as a new believer, you have living water living inside of you. So they depicted that this person had a well with living water in it. And that person would bring some water up out of that well and drink it. People would come along, and that usually it was... It was a girl, if I remember what that. Yes, I do know that part. But she would share the water, and people would come, and she'd share her living water with them, and they say, "Oh, this is so good! This is so good!" And then those people who received the living water from her, they would gather up the trash in their life, and they were on their way to the dump to get rid of that trash. And she would stop them, and they would say, she'd say, "Where are you going?" And, "Well, we're going to get rid of this junk out of our life." And she said, "Well, I'll save you a trip. Just dump it in here. Just put it in my well." And that happened 2 or 3 times, and then she tasted her water, and, "Oh, man, there's something wrong with my water." And other people came to drink from her living water. Now, listen, it's tainted now. And when you give that kind of living water to people, they drink, "Oh, that's bitter, that's nasty, I don't want that kind of water." Our lives become tainted sometimes. And yes, we still have living water that's inside of us, but it's coming through all this junk and garbage in our life. And other people see that. That's not a very good witness for Christ. We're ambassadors for Christ. We're supposed to have a lifestyle that makes a difference, that sets a standard for people to live to, up to. So as I think about this, as we pray about our prayer and fasting time, please be involved with this, because I believe it truly does get the trash out of your life. You know, I think it was the last time we had prayer and fasting, Billy decided he was going to give up coffee. And he did for 21 days. He gave up coffee. He didn't drink a drop of coffee. And then when he went back, he decided, hey, man, I can't wait. I get to drink a cup of coffee. He sat down with a cup of coffee, and he said, ah, this stuff is terrible. I can't believe I even liked it. So as far as I know, do you drink coffee this day? No, coffee is out of his life. That now I'm not telling you that coffee is evil, or in fact they're telling you these days you should drink 3 or 4 cups, it's good for you. I don't know, I can't pay any attention to the so-called experts anymore. But look, for Billy, that was the right thing. That's what's important. This was a piece of trash that needed to come out of his life, and he got rid of it. Your trash is something totally different, but God wants to get rid of it, and he will. My third point, last point, go back. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The point here is that fasting teaches you to overcome temptation. It causes you to be strong spiritually, and it gives you the willpower. If you are able to fast, you are able to overcome all kinds of temptations. Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by who? Who was the tempter? The devil is the tempter. It doesn't say Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness so that God could tempt him. God doesn't tempt. In fact, we know in James, if you go to that scripture real quick and then come back, James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no one say that when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one, here's what happens. Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by what? His own desires. King James says lusts and enticed. The enticer, the tempter, is the enemy. But guess what? He uses your flesh against you. He knows how to tempt you, and he does a very good job. He's good at what he does, and he's going to tempt you. So I want you to understand that when you are warring this warfare, when you're fasting and praying, the tempter is going to come and try to tempt you. He's going to try to get you to let your guard down. He's going to try to entice you. He's going to say just a little bit won't hurt anything. But listen, your purpose is to become strong spiritually. Our purpose as a church is to be on the cutting edge of what God is going to be doing in 2019. Amen? Therefore, it's so very important that we hold fast to our commitment of fasting. That's why I'm asking you to sign up, because I want us all to hold each other accountable as we go through this time of prayer and fasting. Okay, go back to Matthew, if you would, real quick. Okay? And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward, he was hungry. Of course, he would be hungry. Well, you're going to get hungry if you get involved with this fast. Even if you're fasting a certain food like dessert, you're going to get hungry for it. You're going to desire it. And if you're not careful, if you do not discipline yourself to pray when you're tempted, the tempter will lead you into temptation and a fall. You will be enticed. So prayer, that's what prayer and fasting. You fast, and when you're tempted, you pray. Oh, God, be there. Help me. Strengthen me. And when he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Next. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Here we have a key as we are tempting. or as we are fasting and you're going to be tempted, the way to overcome that temptation is by the Word of God. Know the Word of God. Find the Word of God. If you're being tempted to give up on your fast, go to the Word of God. That's what Jesus did. He knew the Word of God, and he told the enemy what the Word of God said. Go to the next scripture. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on a pinnacle of the temple. Next. And said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, it is written, once again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Jesus could not be led astray because Jesus had the Word of God. He was the Word of God in the flesh. Next scripture. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Next. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Another key we find here when it comes to being tempted, worship the Lord. Worship him. Worship him with all your heart, soul, and mind. Put on some worship music. Do whatever you can, but worship the Lord. You may be in a situation where you can't do any of that. Just worship him quietly. Worship the Lord. That gives you power and strength to overcome the temptation of the enemy. Next. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Praise God. I believe God dispatches his angels to minister to his people when we seek him. When we follow his word, when we make his word our defense and our barrier, when we worship the Lord, when we are attempting to position ourselves in such a way that we will be able to make a huge impact for the kingdom of God through prayer and fasting. God is on our side. Make no mistake about that. No matter how much temptation you will receive, God is with you. And as we go through this time of prayer and fasting, know this, that you are establishing yourself as special forces in the army of God. I know, as a man, and I would probably say just about every man in here at one time or another has fantasized just a little bit about being a special forces in the army or navy or military, you know, because there's something really macho about that. We really, if we know that a guy is God, he's in the special forces, Delta Force, Rangers, Navy SEALs, whatever. We have a great deal of respect for that person. You know why? Because they've endured something that the rest of us are wondering if we could do. They have to go through incredible training. Let me share a little bit with you about what, let's look at the Navy SEALs because they're the ones that I could find information on. But one of the things, just to apply to be a Navy SEAL, you have to be able to swim 500 yards breaststroke or side stroke, a minimum of 12 and a half minutes, an optimum would be 9.5 minutes. You have to be able to do 42 push-ups in 2 minutes. That's a minimum. You have to do 50 sit-ups in 2 minutes. You have to do 6 pull-ups. There's no time limit on that. You have to be able to run 1.5 mile in 11 minutes just to qualify to be a Navy SEAL. And you have to do this one right after another. Believe me, I don't care how good a shape you think you're in, you would not be able to do this. None of us sitting here probably would be. There are a few people that are that in that good shape. But that's just to qualify. And then the things that they have to go through is rigorous. It's incredible, the training that they put them through, the mental hardships and emotional challenges that they put on them, along with the physical challenges, are just incredibly hard. A very small fraction of people that sign up to be a Navy SEAL ever accomplish becoming a Navy SEAL. Why? Because they're looking for the elite. I'm asking you today to be a part of the elite forces of God by being a part of this prayer and fasting. I believe elite forces prepare themselves for the battle that's ahead. Now, listen. There's few that are willing to be a part of this. Now, I'm talking, this congregation, I believe everyone will be, but I'm talking about the church overall. Does that mean that the church is no good? No, it doesn't mean that at all. There are plenty of regular forces in the Army and Navy and military that are there. They're good. They're qualified. They do a great job. They're great. We need all of them. But God also needs the elite forces who will establish themselves not based on their fleshly desires, but based on the spiritual ramifications that we can have in this society that we live in. Because we're willing to set ourselves apart with prayer and fasting. I believe God desires that for this church, for us. Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you have been blessed by this message. Our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit us at bethelwc.org. And remember, love never fails.